We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Untangle, the podcast from Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate, and five-star app, Meditation Studio. I'm your host, Patricia Karpus, along with my co-host every other week-ish, Ariel Garten. We're hoping that your meditation practice is giving you what you need to be more calm, grounded, resilient, and hopeful as we live through these uncertain times. I honestly don't know what I'd do without my meditation practice. If you haven't yet and you want to start meditating, check out the Muse S headband. You'll learn how to meditate, and this particular version is designed to help you sleep as well. Check it out at choosemuse.com and use your Muse Stress Less promo code for your discount. Now, here's Ariel.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Untangle to top off this year. My guest today is the amazing Candace Factor, and she's going to be walking us through a series of powerful exercises to vision the year that we want to have. Now, I know coming out of 2020, the idea of visioning a year might seem kind of awkward, but there's a lot of value that can be found in thinking about what your 2021 will be, and allowing yourself to be flexible, open, and enthusiastic in creating it. So I think this is a fantastic exercise to do today and will give you a totally new shift and perspective on the year to come. So my guest Candace is an entrepreneur that is passionate about creativity and lifelong learning. She's the co-founder of Mastermind, a new live learning platform for creators, and she's the creator of Game Changer Sessions, a community of passionate people who want to create the future we want, and who are interested in designing mental models to thrive rather than just survive. So I'm absolutely delighted to have my friend Candace Factor with us today. Hello and welcome, Candace.
It is so amazing to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm particularly excited to be talking with you right now when there is a palpable shift in the world and there's a palpable sensation amongst us that the future and the possibility of the future has changed, that 2021 may actually be different than 2020. You can feel this.
You certainly can. And I love that our conversation is on the week that we welcome such light and such brightness into the world, certainly in terms of the leadership in America. But just in general, I think the notion of collective consciousness being focused on a reset is very, very powerful. So much so that it's even more powerful than our own individual markers. I hosted a phenomenal guest this week, Kunal Gupta, who said the new year is actually more important to him than his very own birthday. And I think what he means by that is when we all are focused on a reset, there's the power of the collective in being in the same place at the same time. That's where we are in January.
Yeah, there's definitely the sensation with vaccines on the horizon, with the new year here, with a new change of leadership, that there's a new horizon or a new possibility that many of us are feeling simultaneously. And there, you're right, there's a palpable power to that, that we're all making our New Year's resolutions. We're all looking ahead. For brief moments, none of us wanted to look ahead. And now we're like, oh, we can do that now.
Absolutely. Although one thing I will say is I like to acknowledge the past. I feel as if we don't actually spend the time reflecting on the past. We sort of bring the baggage of the past with us. the very first thing I like to do around setting intentions for a new year and celebrating the new is actually making peace with the old. I'm really interested in giving people some prompts and some exercises to really have some deep reflections around what the past, be it the past few months, be it the past year, but spending that time to kind of say, hey, what am I noticing about what was? What don't I want to carry with me as we enter this new time? What do I need to make peace with in order to allow all of this abundance that the future has to really manifest?
It's interesting. And I want to speak to the audience for a moment. My intention with this episode is to actually give you a foundation or a framework or guidepost that you can use for your own exercises to vision 2021. And so, Candace, if you were going to frame this as an exercise for the audience, what would you recommend doing?
Yeah, I'm so excited by this. I would say the first thing to do is to actually spend the time looking deeply at 2020. And there's so many interesting ways you can do that. One of the things I love to do is actually just to scroll back through my photos and just create the markers of what were those milestone events. And the milestone events are both some of the highs and also some of the lows. And that may show up in photos, but it also may show up in just going through each month and remembering, although I find personally that very hard. So maybe it's scrolling through your calendar and using some of those markers as reminders for what actually happened and what did I feel in those different months. And just creating some space for you to sort of have some data is really, really powerful. And then once you're looking at the highs and lows and whatever the prompts were that you used, your calendar, your photos, the next thing I like to do is actually, instead of just looking at data, pull out insights and do some real reflections around what are the themes? What are the actual lessons learned from, I think for most of us, a really, really difficult year? And so what I like to ask of the community that I host, we're actually running a mastermind right now focused on this very topic called Elevate Your Game, and it's 4 sessions around creating the year you want, is to actually write a letter to themselves around the lessons they learned in 2020. And for those who want to share it, create a blog post or create a post where you're sharing your wisdom with those you love.
Candace, what are some of the things that you learned from 2020 upon your reflection?
I thought 2020 was a year that we all learned so much. Some of those lessons were really hard and really uncomfortable, and some were really beautiful. One of the biggest lessons I learned was that in all of this chaos and all of this change and all of this uncertainty, it's really, really hard and scary. And it can be really beautiful, and there can be lots of hidden opportunity. And it was just so interesting to me how chaos is a force function for change. When things are normal, it's hard for people to change behavior. When there is disruption, it is necessity is the mother of all innovation. And so people were forced to find change. And sometimes those changes could be really beautiful. For me, it was finding beauty in much simpler, more mundane things like simple home-cooked meals or walks in nature or rekindling relationships with siblings. I have, so just some of my other reflections, living in alignment with your values is the single best way to find peace and happiness. I think for all of us, we have really, really hard times, and there were many, many things we can't control. But the one thing we can control is when we are living in alignment with what matters to us. I found my most agitated moments this year were when I was around people or around circumstances that just weren't aligned with my values. And that for me was a really big realization that my happiest place and my most peaceful place is when I'm in alignment with my values. I'm happy to share my newsletter on my reflections this year as a prompt. Actually, one of the ones that I would love to talk about is just nothing is permanent. what we've begun to understand last year that we never experienced as a collective was just how fast things can change and how everything is impermanent in many ways. Our health, our relationships. And while this may seem very scary, and it is very scary at times, it also just is. And I think the biggest thing I learned last year was it's actually how we choose to live with impermanence that often defines the quality of our experience of life. And I learned to really build a practice of choosing to cherish and feel grateful for what I have every day. This really honors the impermanence, the idea that it may not be there tomorrow. And also in those very hard times, which I think all of us felt very deeply, reminding ourselves that this is not permanent. The social isolation is not permanent. The spread of COVID is not going to be forever. The idea that we are in the state that we're in, reminding myself that this isn't permanent was really, really important as a coping mechanism to get beyond it. So I have lots more that I would be happy to share, but it was just a, more than anything, a really interesting exercise to take all of those insights and be reflective and then to have the courage to share them with others.
So we'll put your blog post in the show notes so that people can look at your reflections. And would you also be able to share some of the prompt questions in the show notes? So if people want to run this exercise for themselves, they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
That's awesome. So from looking at your own past, where's the next place that you go with a reflective exercise?
The next place is actually to go to the complete opposite end of the spectrum, which is really getting in touch with my higher purpose. And this purpose is beyond the year of 2021, because I think for many of us who are in really difficult circumstances where maybe we aren't able to fully actualize our highest purpose at this very moment, it's interesting for me to kind of think about, like, what is this life all about? And so I actually go to this, for many, very scary place, which is death. And reverse engineering, what is it that is important to me? And I think in this year in particular, my purpose and my desire to have an impact is actually far less grand because of some of the barriers to being able to do that. But it made me very, very clear on what matters to me. And so the exercise that we've been doing in our mastermind is one that's quite confronting for many people, but very, very powerful, which is actually envisioning yourself at your own eulogy and hearing about the impact that your highest self is having on the world, and also reflecting on the purpose of the impact that maybe you're having in the space you're in, and being gentle and kind around connecting those two.
Can you give us an example? I have to admit, a little scary sounding, but also incredibly intriguing to look back at your life from the other side and imagine what you would have wanted to have accomplished.
Absolutely. And so the example for me is, in this particular year, I think what truly mattered with all of the constraints became far less about the impact I'm having on the whole world and much more about the impact I'm having on the people I love and on living my truth. And I think for many, this exercise starts out as, oh, what do people think of me? What would I have done? What would I have accomplished? And at the end of the day, when we reverse engineer our lives, and there's tons of research behind this, it's actually very much about the impact you have on people is the way you make them feel. And it's so much less about what you've done or what milestones you've achieved in your career. It's, did you often have the relationships and the impact that you intended to have on the people you loved? And so what's very powerful for this exercise is reflecting on what you think that is that you want, and also just being reflective on maybe you weren't that always, right? Or if the people you love were to write a eulogy about you today, you maybe aren't having the intended impact you want. And I think the key in this exercise is the kindness and compassion to yourself to understand that sometimes the impact you are having versus the intended impact isn't the same. And all that's in between those two constructs is your learning and growth. And to get there, it's far more important to be kind and compassionate to yourself and to have a reset, which is why I really like this time of year to say, I've made peace with the past and what was, and therefore I have an ability to have this growth mindset to actually have the impact that I want to have.
What have you seen bubble up as people's purposes when they do this exercise?
I've seen some amazing things. I think people getting clear on who they really want to be versus what they should be and what a successful life should include. For some people, it's healers. I want to heal. I want to help people heal. Or for some people, it's I want to teach. Or for other people, it's I want to be a part of helping nature reset. I've seen really, really beautiful experiences. And then if I'm really honest, what I've seen is a lot of people being really, really hard on themselves around a whole bunch of constructs that just aren't serving them. And sometimes it's really good to do hard exercises or hard things so that you can actually witness and see how you're not serving yourself with the beliefs that you have around your purpose.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great, and this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/untangle. Now back to our show.
Okay, now I'm super curious about this. How do you actually do this exercise?
In our course that I'm running, and I have a co-facilitator, Lindsay Sikornik, one of the exercises that we do is our belief is that so much of our wisdom is actually in our bodies. It's not in our heads. And Arielle, I know you are very passionate about this topic as well. And so the key to get into this visualization state is to actually let go of being too cerebral about it. And so the first thing that we do in our experience is a movement experience. So a yoga experience or some kind of getting out of your head experience and into your body. And in Shavasana, it's a beautiful exercise where we lead people through a field of a place that they really love and a place in nature that really brings them tremendous joy. And we actually take them to a hidden auditorium that they don't know where they are, what they're entering, and they're actually entering their very own funeral. And people are sharing eulogies about them. And we ask them to think about three different people who are sharing three different eulogies about them. And after this exercise, we sit with it and we come back into a journaling exercise where we just write what showed up. And it's really just allowing what comes up when you're facing your mortality to rise to the surface. And then what we ask people to do is write their highest self, whoever their highest version of themselves is. What is the eulogy that you would want to be written about that person? And contrast that to maybe some of what's coming up around the impact that you're having today. And being really, really clear that the only thing standing in the way of that is the compassion and kindness to understand that we're all human. And that if we like unstick all the arrows and daggers about who we have been, and we allow ourselves to learn and grow to be our highest version of ourselves, this is the impact that is possible. And now this creates the conditions to actually think about, are you living the life and having the impact you want to have on the world and on the people that your highest version of yourself would like to have?
That's really, really beautiful. As you say that, I can imagine myself going into that auditorium. And at first, there's the moment of creepiness or the moment of chills. And then immediately it is filled with the possibility of what I could do or who I could impact. And then there's also the moment of anxiety around looking at that relative to the life that I am living. Am I living up to it? And then you gave me the permission to be like, it's okay. There's nothing you have to do. There's no life you have to live. It is, what is it that your highest self would just like to do? What is it that your highest self would wants to see be in the world? Because it's your highest self. It's not the self that is filled with judgment and other people's expectations of you or your own expectations of you. It's simply your pure highest self.
Exactly.
And then from there, seeing what is possible. And what comes up for me is that although we may have grandiose notions of what we're supposed to be, I think one of the things that we've learned over the last year is the simplicity of just being. My highest purpose, although I'm an entrepreneur, although I do all of these things, my highest purpose in the last year was to make sure that my kid was entertained, felt loved, and that my family felt good. I think that was my highest purpose, period.
Exactly.
I think my husband's highest purpose was to make sure that we were well fed and our household ran smoothly. That was his highest purpose.
Exactly.
And God, am I grateful for his highest purpose.
Yeah, right. And there's something very healing, actually, that we don't all need to be these heroes. Like, what if we actually just lived intentionally and had a level of acceptance of who we are and a smaller version that creates space for us to actually become the bigger version without all of that judgment and pressure? Is just a really interesting reframe, for me at least, around acceptance.
Yeah. So you and I did a version of this exercise together, a slightly different one. And what bubbled up for me in their exercise was that my highest purpose was to help and serve others and in some specific ways. And it's interesting at this moment, reflecting back, when I noticed my highest purpose for the last year was to help and serve those around me in this very small way. And now that the world is opening up a little bit more and possibility exists, there's more opportunity to help and serve in the bigger way. And so this framing becomes very filled with a possibility that seems easy, not onerous.
Absolutely. One of the things that brought me the most joy in difficult times last year was the idea of being generous and the idea of being kind. And that actually doesn't have to be grandiose at all, but can be in the smallest gestures. And the sense of purpose being about the impact you have on others, I just thought it was interesting for me. The last reflection, or the biggest reflection I have, was that the generosity was not just about being generous to others, but being generous and kind to ourselves first. And so even this exercise has an element of that, which is it's very, very hard to be generous and kind to others if we aren't generous and kind to ourselves first. And if we start with being kind and generous, that our purpose isn't to change the world in a year that the pandemic caused so much disruption, then we can be so much more generous and kind to all these other people we love around us. But if we start with the daggers of why our purpose is not big enough, or why we weren't able to be so perfect in every circumstance, it's very hard to find that generosity and kindness and have the intended impact we potentially want on others.
That's fantastic and very, very relieving to hear. I think hearing that drops a lot of tension from people's shoulders.
Totally. It's just such a lesson. A guest who I have had on Game Changer Sessions said it so beautifully. This is Jerry Colonna. I don't know if you've ever interviewed him before. He's the founder of Reboot, a wonderful leadership organization in New York. And he just talks about the Buddhist principle of nonviolence and how being nonviolent first with ourselves is so essential in creating high-performing cultures and conscious leadership environments. Because ultimately, if we are really, really violent with ourselves and we don't have the tenderness and kindness, it's very, very hard to have that be not reflected in our actions to others.
That's beautiful. So you've gone from reflecting to the past. You then move to reflecting to upon your death, which oddly gives you a lot of release and possibility for what you could be. Where do you go from there in your visioning exercise?
Yeah, so then I take people back to this year. And what's likely bubbled up is you reflected on the past and now you have this big vision. So it's like, okay, for me to be this person that I want to be, what do I need to let go of? What do I need to stop holding on to? And so it's like identifying the couple things that are holding you back and just really saying goodbye, letting go to those habits, to those beliefs, and setting what I like to call not so much a goal, a resolution, but rather a one-word intention. This is not something I designed. I'm borrowing from lots of brilliant, amazing leaders who really have instilled in me this practice of having a one-word intention. And I choose intention over goal because the truth is, if we learned anything from 2020, it is we don't know what the future holds. How can we commit ourselves to very, very permanent goals when the future is so uncertain? And so instead, what I like to do is commit to an intention. And the intention is often born out of being reflective of what I have to let go of or what I need more of. And so last year, my intention was the word flow. And so the reason this intention showed up for me is as a recovering, alpha-driven, highly, very intense person around achievement, I knew that the thing I needed to work on was actually having a bit more awareness of flow. When things are feeling very forced and forceful, how do I actually let go a little bit more? Or how do I let things flow more easily? How do I follow energy that is creating the conditions for me to be in a flow state? Like, how do I not be so stuck on what I think I should be doing and rather be a little bit more open to flow? So that's an example of an intention for me. I've had an intention every year for the past 5 years, and I can actually share the progression of those intentions if that's interesting. But I can tell you that this little word, flow, was the reason I was able to get through last year. And we all have something that's in our orbit that would be a guiding light or an intention. And the way I would think about an intention is that it takes the mental tax off of our choices. And so when we have a one-word intention, we can reference that intention and say, if I'm living this highest intention of flow, how should I respond to the circumstance at hand? And it's not always the same. We have different cycles of words or intentions that are really important to us. For me this year, it's not actually about flow as much as it is about focus. This year's word is more for me about, I don't need to do so many things. I don't need to let everything flow. I actually just need to like focus a little bit, do less, more essentialism. That's my guiding principle this year. But last year, it was about something very different that was in my orbit.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.
I love that because creating New Year's resolutions always creates tension when you fall off your New Year's resolution and you don't do it and then you lose motivation to it. New Year's resolutions never stick. I love this idea of a New Year's intention or word for the year that becomes a guiding principle that's beautiful. Can you give us some guidance or some teaching as to how we would go about and identify this word?
This is something where you may need to spend a little bit of time having a reaction to a bunch of different prompts of words that may be right for you. And I actually just on Game Changer Sessions hosted Kunal Gupta, who I mentioned earlier, who ran a wonderful workshop on setting one word intentions. And we actually just did this today. And so I will make this episode available for all of your hosts because he ran us through a really beautiful process of finding this word. And one of the things he suggested is creating in many ways a mind map or a tree, because sometimes we need to brainstorm a few different words. But the word that you finally choose for your intention should do two things. Ultimately, be a word that allows you to transform your state. So it's like whatever I need to let go of, or from all of those beautiful reflections of the past, which you need to make peace with, does this word help you transform your state? So you want to reflect on words that may say, wow, this year, these were some of the things that I had to let go of, which is why I like to bring that into this. And then if you are using this word, how does it actually help you follow that purpose that you want? Is its intent going to make it easier for you to do that? And one of the things he did is actually, we all closed our eyes in this beautiful workshop, and he just shared a couple prompts that our word may be. And one of the things that we did is just saw how our body responded or our emotions responded to the word. And if this word caught your attention or inspired you, maybe that's the right word. And the freedom he also enabled in the session, which I loved, was sometimes you start with a word and you think it's this, but it's like, no, it's not the word. And so he also reminded us that he's changed these words in years. It may have started with flow, but ultimately it became space, or he needed more space. But just feel free to listen to this past episode. And also, I'm happy to share a bunch of words that your word may be. And there's something really powerful about putting that word in the center of a mind map and thinking about what can manifest from this word in terms of the commitments you can make to yourself, in terms of the transformation that you can have based on what your reflections were the previous year.
I'm currently cycling through words in my mind and seeing how they fit. Let me tell you, ease is a top contender right now.
Amazing. I mean, I can tell you for myself, I'm really trying to figure out what my word is too. And the list that I wrote today was focus, just actually doing less versus more, wholeness, like seeing my whole life versus just like one aspect of it. Borrowing from Kunal's word this morning, spaciousness feels incredibly good after being locked up with my family all at home, finding spaciousness for decisions, and also listening, like finding the ability and room to listen deeply to what's inside of me and the universe, and just spending the time being present to listening. And these are all very different prompts for me to be intentional versus last year. Last year, it was about letting things flow. And this year, I'm not, that word isn't called to me in the same way. These words do.
That's awesome. I'm going to let words float around my head and see what seems to fit, and also check out the episode that we'll post in the show notes and follow the exercise. So once you have your word, where do you go next?
So the next one is so fun, and it can be a really, really great exercise to do on your own, even with friends, even with family. But it's this idea of not being too attached to what your year is going to look like, but also allowing you to visualize and see your year. And so for me, this is all about, okay, if my highest purpose is the following things, what would be the most amazing things to visualize in this year? I like to create some form of visual board or vision board. And I'm like a very tactile person. So I actually like to find images or take pictures, use magazines, even though I don't have a ton of them, but a visual representation of themes, ideas, things, experiences, feelings. And you can do this in so many different ways. You can do it on a Pinterest board. You can do this on a physical board. But this idea that we want to see things that we really want in our lives and we're reminded of these prompts, it's like a tangible visual representation, really has served me, certainly served me last year. And for me, it's not about stuff, things that were on my board last year, and I can show a picture in the show notes if you like. We're more themes, actually. Some of the themes on my vision board, I can even go pull it. Shining light was a theme. Diving deeper was a theme. There was a lot of nature on that board, like tons of just scenes of nature was a really big part of the board. But it's allowing yourself to say, hey, this is a year and here's what I want to see in it.
And here's what I want to feel in it.
And here's what I want to feel in it. And the feel is actually the most important part. So what are the images that inspire those feelings?
It's a beautiful way to constantly remind your mind of where it can go, because our minds are so easily caught up in the day-to-day and the moment-to-moment and the sometimes dark places that can take us. And having a visual representation that you have created about what you want to be, see, feel allows you to instantly look at it and shift into that memory space that then allows you to change your framing for how you're looking at your current world or make a different decision that can move you in that direction.
Exactly. And what I like to do alongside that is say, so what are the supports and the rituals and the practices that I need to put in my life to manifest this vision? That's the part where I think community really helps, and also just process helps. If you don't carve the time to meditate or do exercise or be in touch with community of like-minded people or have reflective moments every couple months or every quarter like I like to do, then those things don't happen. And as much as I'm very, very aware that life happens and we got to go with the flow, there is something very powerful about putting practices and processes in place that allow you to manifest the vision or to be reflective of, are you living according to your highest purpose or are you following your one word intention? And so what I like to do is the combo of getting really clear, like these are the things that are important to me that I want out of this year, and then just setting yourself up for success, reminders, prompts, community, self-care that allows you to access that.
This is great. So I think this is a fantastic exercise that we just went through for this particular year. Because in the past, we are so inclined to be so prescriptive about what we need to do. And we've all discovered that it's actually a fool's task to be prescriptive, but you can set out the grand intentions. You can set out the themes. You could set out the ways that you would like to be in the world and set up as much as you can the structure to allow that to happen. And then with those grand themes, the world will unfold as it unfolds and you have your guiding principles and guiding lights to help you navigate it, arrive in it, and make the impact that you hope to make in your heart through it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you. This was incredibly beautiful and incredibly powerful and practical.
Yeah, I just really encourage people to spend time experimenting with different practices, different exercises, such as the ones that I've given. But if these ones don't work for you, try other ones. I think the key, though, is finding community, and a community like the Muse community of like-minded people who really want to live a more conscious and mindful life, and leverage the community to really manifest the life you want, and spend the time giving yourself permission to be thoughtful about these kinds of things. I know for me, I may have had some resistance at different points in my life to some of these exercises, and it was really through just being open to what's possible, seeing what works for me, what serves me, what doesn't serve me, and being on a path of lifelong learning that has inspired me to both do these exercises, but also to create environments like the Game Changer community, and certainly the work we're doing at Mastermind to allow people to have learning experiences together.
This is fantastic. So if people want to have learning experiences together, on Mastermind, for example, or learn more about your work, where should they go?
Absolutely. So Mastermind is a new platform that we're creating that lets any creator and teacher and thought leader design a learning experience that enables groups of people to participate in the learning experience and be a community. So you can go to mastermind.co to sign up to join our wait list. And we are going to have all sorts of amazing creators and teachers use our platform to design immersive learning experiences in the world. So we're very excited about that. And if you're interested in joining our community as well at Game Changer, we are a community of 3,000 people who are very passionate about mental models to really thrive, not just get by and survive in uncertainty and change. And ultimately are just people who want to create not just the future, but a future that we actually want to live in. And so we host wonderful guests. Ariel, we're so privileged, has been a guest, and we are just very interested in learning from all sorts of thought leaders and experts on how to be more intentional about how to thrive.
That's fantastic, Candace. Thank you. So all of this information will be in the show notes, along with some references for the exercises that Candace walked us through today. And with that, I'd love to thank you so much, Candace, for sharing your wisdom, your perspective on past and future. And I'm wishing everybody an awesome 2021 in whatever way it unfolds for you and whatever your word is.
Thank you so much for hosting me. What an honor to be here.
My pleasure. That was Candace Factor. You can follow her conversations at gamechanger.co and join the community there. And you can find Mastermind at mastermind.co. And if you're looking to bring more meditation or sleep into 2021, you probably want to check out Muse, the brain-sensing headband that helps you meditate and sleep. It tracks your brain, heart, breath, and body during meditation and during sleep, basically like a sleep lab in your own home, and can give you real-time feedback to help you improve your meditation practice and amazing guided exercises that are designed to lull you into sleep. If you want to learn more about your mind and body awake or during sleeping, check out choosemuse.com, and you can use the discount code MUSESTRESSLESS. Wishing everybody a wonderful week. Till we see you again on Untangle.